Hey, hey, hey.
Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Eric.
Hello.
And guess what? Eric and I, like Stephanie a couple of months ago, we're breathing the same air. We are right now in his Jeep recording a podcast. I know that sounds weird, but no, what had happened was other things happened and we ended up seeing a movie together in his hometown, or not hometown.
That sounds like a bit much when you say other things have been happening. Like leading up to this.
Well, no. I came to San Antonio for a family reunion thing. Okay. I really didn't want to come get into, you know, family business.
No, I understand, but when you leave it obscure, the listener fills in the blanks.
No, the listener's not filling in anything. I think you're making that up. Anyway. So, came down, I was like, you know what? You know, we've been living in the same state prior to me going to New York forever, and I hadn't come down here, right? To San Antonio, over here. Because Houston, San Antonio, blah. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to make my aunt happy. We're going to do the freaking website. I'm going to get Eric. We're going to watch a movie. We're going to just do something. And, you know, I'm just going to be a good person. So that's how this is.
This is all because you want to be a good person?
I am a good person already.
Okay. Well, I know. That's what I was saying. You didn't have to.
Okay. Well, I'm a good person.
All right.
Anyway, so Eric decided, because this is the week before Guardians of the Galaxy, we could not see that. And then, like, everything else we've seen already. So we decided to see Life together with, what's the actor's name? We have Green Lantern.
Jake Gyllenhaal. No, Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Japanese guy. Watanabe.
I love him. Wait, are you being racist?
I didn't say wasabi, I said Watanabe.
I don't know if that's his name.
I'm pretty sure that's his name. I might have one syllable off, but it's pretty close to Watanabe.
Okay, anyway, that guy from that one sci-fi show that we really liked that no one liked except for me. He's in it.
Wait, was he in that show? If I'm thinking of the right...
The ice, what they were like in the ice.
I was thinking about that show while we were watching the movie, but I couldn't remember that he was in it.
I forget what it's called. But anyway...
But the one by Ronald D. Moore?
That was Ronald D. Moore.
The one with the virus that starts getting out of control?
Yeah, and they're in the ice, and it was like the antique movie, the vintage...
Unless I'm completely losing my mind, I thought Ron D. Moore had something to do with that, but...
Maybe.
Strike me down.
Maybe. Anyway. So, we ended up seeing Life. See, this is something that, you know, I didn't think this would be something that you and I would watch together. Because I feel like we're always watching some other
thing. Any movie would be something we would watch together.
What does that mean?
Well, because how many movies have we seen together?
You know, there
today
has to be a first time for
absolutely
everything.
Which means it could be this or it could be anything.
Well, we do the sci-fi party line, so therefore,
this qualifies, I think.
Okay, sci-fi. Okay. So right now, we're steaming up his Jeep, and we're talking about science fiction. And then, so we're going to talk about this film. And so, immediately, honestly, right afterwards, full disclosure, I've had two beers. Now I'm usually, guys, you know, like, I don't understand how you surprise this. Why are you snorting?
Go on, don't let me
anyway
you.
There's another. Hey, how are you? Okay, anyway, they're
we're not on the boardwalk right now.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You're making eye contact.
No, you're scaring that family. Go on.
They don't look scared. They look like they're like Cowboys fans.
What's going on?
Okay, anyway.
What?
Because they look awesome, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway. Where was I?
Something about
steaming up the Jeep.
Right from the start.
Steaming up the Jeep. No. We're not talking. We haven't gotten to the movie. We're talking about a film together.
Okay.
Kat has had a couple of beers. Eric, you know, he drinks beers for breakfast, so whatever. Like, how do I sound different? I'm Kat, as usual. Anyway. So we saw Life. And, you know, I thought it was, what's the Sandra Bullock movie?
Gravity.
Gravity. Then I was thinking Europa Report. Did you watch that one?
Only like 4 minutes.
That doesn't help.
Okay. But I know what you're talking about. I've seen
That's
4 minutes of
That's
it.
That's fine. This, to me, is Europa Report, Gravity, the visuals of Gravity, Europa Report, but Mars.
It's only Mars for like a second, spoiler.
Okay, fine. Spoiler, really?
I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, so how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this?
How we always do it. Continue.
Well, I feel like I'm talking a lot and you haven't said, okay, so we saw
this. Yeah, I'm waiting for... Go.
Okay, so I didn't know what to expect. I knew that maybe it wasn't going to be the best or the highly rated or most anticipated film of the year. It was like 68 on Tomato Meter.
Which is fresh.
Yeah. And so I really didn't know what to expect because I haven't heard anybody talk about it. Carl, when I was like, Carl, let's watch this film. He was like, sorry, I must be lying. But he was just like lukewarm about it. And so I didn't think I was going to see it, honestly. And then you were like, Kat, you're in San Antonio, life. And I'm like, yeah. And then, so we
saw it.
It
was just like that.
Yeah, it was magic.
I don't think there needs to be a disclaimer as to how the two of us walked into this.
But this is the first
movie.
Time we've been recording a podcast together, Eric, for since 19... I mean, I'm sorry.
19? What? 20th century?
20... Maybe 12 or 2011 or so.
29.
2009?
Yes.
Really?
I remember it well. The second Transformer movie... second Transformers movie had come out. 2009.
And so 2009, the first time we're meeting is right now, 2017. Isn't that awesome? So we have to... There you go. He's very unimpressed. So, okay. Life.
Yeah, not based on the Milton Bradley board game.
You know, I didn't think that's what you were going to say. That's...
I was banking on being a doctor or a lawyer, and things went another direction.
Oh,
I saw Battleship, and I figured Life would be, you know, part of the franchise.
I guess you get to go on your rant right now, because that's...
My rant?
I mean, you're a little off the... Okay. Are we avoiding talking about this film?
I'm not. Okay. I have plenty to say.
Okay. Why don't you start it off, and then I'll jump in, because I feel lost. Because I feel like there are some things about it that I loved.
Okay, well, can I get my...
Do it.
Unintentionally racist statement right off the
top. Oh my God. Here we go.
Can I do that?
I don't understand how you're racist and you know me, because
I'm not racist. This is my unintentionally racist.
Oh, you did say
comment.
Well, then if it was unintentional, then it's not really racist, is it?
It's not racist at all, but it could be misconstrued.
That's fine.
So I'm giving you the disclaimer.
That's fine.
And as always, I only speak 100% the truth as it occurs
calm down.
To me.
Just calm down.
Okay, so I had seen this trailer, you know, a couple months, however, a while back. And I thought, oh, this looks interesting, possibly. And I saw the trailer two or three times way back, prior to now. And just from glancing at the trailer, I thought that Idris Elba was in this movie. And I was still thinking that some minutes into the movie.
Wow.
I'm just being really honest. And it was kind of a downer.
I'm going to couch that with, because for the first 20 minutes of the black guys, we're going to air quote that, performance, we only saw the back of his head. Am I right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's true. You didn't get a real good look at him at first. And I also remember one of the first thoughts I had as the movie is playing now, I thought, oh, it's cool. I like how they're letting Idris, or Mr. Elba, I like how they're letting him use his natural accent more, like, in his current roles. And that was one of my first thoughts in this movie. Like, this is cool, because he's not doing, like, the faux American voice.
Oh, man.
It wasn't until, I don't know exactly how many minutes into the movie, where I had a good, real good look at him. Oh, my gosh. No, it's not. Oh, boy. But it was a downer, because
Let me tell you some of the other unintentionally racist things, Eric, that came out of Eric's mouth. So, what it had... Okay, so, further into the movie, we're jumping ahead. Something happened to the organism And then I had to go to the restroom because I had two beers. And I came back, and you know, shit was all over the place. Hell had broken loose. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, it's the black guy's fault. And I'm like, what the hell?
Look, we're in a movie. You know, you can't really have an open conversation. So I distilled everything down to its simplest components. And I just said, that wasn't a...
Nah, that was barely apparent.
No, I'll tell you what I said. I said...
The black guy's fault. That's literally what you said.
I said something to the effect of the black guy messed up, is what I said.
Okay, that might be what you said exactly.
But I wanted to get it out in a short sentence, like straight to the point, and that was the quickest way to identify him, and he messed up, and
I mean, they're facts, but it was just the undertone, son. Okay. It's the undertone. Okay. And then further along, Eric had finally, his bladder had got to him, and he had to leave. And so the black guy, you remember the part the alien kind of came out of the guy's leg or something? I don't know, something.
I had questions about that, but I'll ask after you.
And then, so he came back and he was like, what was happening? I was like, the alien came out of the black guy's leg. And he was just like, yeah, I figured that shit out. And I was just like, all right, yeah, you know.
But I still have follow-up questions to that, though, because...
No, I got questions first, because I went to the restroom 3 times.
Right.
Beer, I don't really drink it, so there was a thing.
It's still a thing now, but go on.
Shut up.
What was your question?
Well, let's just talk about... I don't know what the question was.
Oh, I said I had a question about
that. Oh, the question was like, how did he mess up? Because I know. We're watching the film.
Okay, so I believe, and I could be wrong, because I'm sketchy on a lot of details throughout the movie.
Well, then... Why am I getting teased?
But I'm pretty sure this is what happened with this scene. I think he went into the lab, first of all, without telling anybody else. So he didn't have, like, other people, like, outside the window, like, watching.
How long was he in there? Jeez.
So he went in the lab by himself and without telling anyone. And then, not only that, but when he was finished noodling around in the lab, he forgot to, like, shut some vent or do something that he's supposed to do that he forgot, and then he left the lab. And then what happened as a result of this, because he forgot to shut some vent, it messed up, like, the little atmosphere in the little containment chamber.
Yeah.
And so it messed up the atmosphere for the creature. Therefore, it caused the creature to go into hibernation mode. And so then... Around the time now you're coming back, they're basically telling him, like, you know, how could you do that? Like, first of all, go without us. And then second, now you forgot the little valve. Now the creature's in hibernation mode. And then when you came back, now he was going back in the lab with everybody else now. And now he was trying to, like, bring it back to life because it went into hibernation mode. And then that's when you came in and you saw what happened after that. So, yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, so the creature we find out in regular human atmosphere did not have any response.
Right.
And then when they introduced
like a proto-Earth atmosphere.
Yeah, when they introduced those environmental parameters to the organism, it responded.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Which was fascinating. Eric is not saying, but I thought it looked kind of, I really enjoyed the cat's, excitement at the discovery because, it's like we now have proof that there's life beyond Earth. One of the first thoughts that I had was, wow, we really have to look hard for life beyond Earth, which means, like, where's the other intelligent life? But that's a whole nother film. But I really enjoyed the way they portrayed the enthusiasm about that.
Interesting, because now you've given me a whole lot of other thoughts.
I do that.
Based on that.
I do that.
Yeah.
No response?
I don't know if we want to get into that. It's a whole other conversation. Well, because you raised this now. This is something I would bring up at the end or later in this conversation, but I'll just get to it now. Because now it begs the question. This movie versus Arrival. Because now you just brought up those points about this movie and the people's enthusiasm. Now you got me thinking about Arrival from last year.
Why do you hate me? Do you hate me bringing up Arrival?
I'm just saying, because now this raises much larger questions about sci-fi movies. Because some of the themes you're talking about now are explored in a different way in that movie.
Okay, I mean, go ahead.
I'm asking. Okay, like, my simple question is, how does this, like, this versus Arrival for you? Like, as far
to
as...
To me, this is a creature feature.
Oh, they're different for sure. But what I'm asking really is your appreciation for Life, the movie, versus Arrival, the movie. Yes, they're
so
different.
So you want to get down to, like, not discussing the plot and
no,
how...
No, we'll get to that. But now that you raise this point, it has to be raised.
What was the question one more time?
Just your appreciation. Yes, they're very different movies and they have different approaches, but just for Cat's appreciation level,
Cat's
Life
versus
Arrival.
Appreciation level is Encounters of the First Kind for Arrival, whereas this is Aliens and what's the 80s film with the when they're in the Arctic, the Antarctic...
The thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. So this was The Thing. This is Aliens.
Yeah, this is
whereas
more,
the Arrival was... It tried to be more beautiful.
No, absolutely.
Okay, that's
they're
not,
totally
that's not
different,
what you're looking for. What are you looking for?
But Cat's personal...
Cat's
like,
personal
feeling,
thing.
Seeing
why,
that movie versus seeing this movie.
So I liked Arrival... I mean, I'm sorry. I liked Life better than... Arrival because Life is honest. The Arrival tried to do all these things and try to do a bait and switch of lighting and camera tricks and stuff to make it try to be more than what it was.
Okay, I see.
But this was straight up a creature feature. And because I've been reading a lot of Lovecraft right now, this really, really like touched the Lovecraft nerve there.
Okay.
That made me... While I had some other, like, not so good feelings about this film, the way it looked and how it ended in the ocean of all places, I enjoy the this being an extension in my mind of a Lovecraft story.
Okay. No, that's completely legitimate, and I completely get the whole idea. Because my short take on this answering the same question is that, yes, the movies are wildly different, but just in terms of, like, the humans, the characters in the movies reacting to the situation in front of them, for whatever reason, Arrival felt more realistic to me just in the human beings' reactions, and Life was more, well, it more fits the genre that it is, the humans' reactions to coming across this organism, etc. But maybe that's just the trappings of this kind
Arrival
of movie.
Arrival didn't make sense, whereas Life does.
Well, that gets into other things, which makes Arrival like more complicated.
The Arrival discussion is making me unhappy.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, but I had to know though how you felt because you brought it up about.
I didn't bring up Arrival.
No, you brought it up as something you enjoyed about Life, and it was something that kind of like.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I didn't necessarily like about Life. But I get if someone's more looking for that type of movie, then you kind of have to let it...
I wasn't looking for it, but it felt
like... Or you enjoy that type of movie
more. I felt
more.
Like it was more honest. That's the only thing. It was on... It was...
Well, it was more
it
honest.
It tried to be more
yes,
than
it
was. It
was more honest in the sense that it wasn't trying to, like, bait and switch. Yes, it's
okay.
True. It's more honest
okay.
in that way.
Okay.
You know, lightning is a bit disconcerting. I have done remote podcasts. No, I've done remote podcasts before. This is not my first, but this might be my first that had real lightning as a backdrop.
Because you know what, Cat is awesome. You're gonna remember this one, son.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, Life. Back to it. So, what I found fascinating was Ryan Reynolds and Jake in this. That's really kind of fascinating. They're like. Big actors.
Right, but I mean...
It didn't seem like they would be in such a small creature feature horror thing together. And Ryan Reynolds, I of course knew that he had to die earlier on because he felt expensive, so...
You felt that Ryan Reynolds was the more expensive get, so to speak, out of the cast? Because I would think Gyllenhaal would have been.
No, to me, Ryan Reynolds.
And also, and I don't know because I haven't taken the time to look it up, but for all we know, and it's very possible, this movie all happened, I mean, was made pre-Deadpool, pre-Deadpool fame. So
let's not speculate.
I'm just saying, though, Ryan Reynolds, his stock as an actor was at a different place before Deadpool
came out. We can't speculate.
I'm just saying.
But I mean, I'm making my assumption based on post-Deadpool because of how the movie came out. And you're just like, don't do that because we don't know. Which you could very well pick up your phone and find out, yeah. Eric.
Oh, we'll all know later. But okay, I'm saying it's very likely, though, that this movie was all done.
That's fine. You're trying to go for a Christopher Hemsworth Cabin in the Woods versus Thor.
Oh, that was definitely done way.
Yeah. Okay, I see where you're going. Let's see, what else?
Well, about Ryan Reynolds, though. Him being, you know, one of the reasons that made me a little bit more interested in this movie from the trailers. And you know it's going to be like a... God, is it still PC to call a movie like a Ten Little Indians movie? Like, scenario?
I don't even know what you just said.
Ten Little Indians.
Oh, that's Christopher Agatha Christie, right?
But yeah. Actually, I wasn't even thinking about that. But yeah. But I mean, that... See, I don't know if it's PC anymore, but that
it
was
a description of an actual book that has.
Well, it is a real book, but yes. I mean, but it's how you describe these sorts of movies, like Friday the 13th, or like 10
Right, right. I get it. Okay. I've never.
But anyway, so this is the thing, and so you know it's going to be that kind of thing going in. So of course, people have to go, characters have to go, but it did stink that Reynolds was the first to go. Of the human.
And that's why I assume that he got paid more to be in it because he got less screen time. Although his later appearance in the film, like, oh, they paid a lot of money just to have him pop up in a boo gotcha shot later
remember on in that. The film. Was that when I went to the restroom?
I don't know, but I think Jake was doing something and he was navigating the ship and then all of a sudden he saw Ryan Reynolds dead just kind of floating there.
Oh, you know what? I think I do remember that. Yeah, I just didn't recognize that was Ryan Reynolds. I was just like, oh, that's somebody who died earlier just floating by. But I didn't. Yeah, I think I remember that now.
Fine. Okay. Where were we?
But still, that stunk because he's one of the reasons why I came to the movie. And it's like, oh, they had to pull that. You know, just like losing Drew Barrymore in the beginning of Scream. But all right.
Damn. Spoilers. Yeah, that's some. That's
spoilers if you haven't seen Scream 1995.
Somebody's still bitter about that. Jeez. Okay. So, where did the organism go wrong? We felt like it grew up. It did this accelerated growth.
Where did it go wrong? What do you mean?
I feel like maybe in its beginnings that it wasn't this evil. I'm not still sure that it's evil.
I don't know about that. Or, I mean...
Is it a lion looking for food in the wilderness? Or is it, like, intentionally evil?
In that way, I'm guessing it's very much like our xenomorph from the Alien series, in which...
Very much like that.
Well, yes, but in regards to your question, it's just an organism that is... highly, highly evolved and well-tuned to survive at all costs, regardless of all kinds of crazy situations it could be thrust into, like in terms of environment or hazards.
But was it
it's
like
mega
that?
It's mega-evolved to be a survivor.
But was it like that, or did the conditions that we subjected to make it that way? Or they...
Well, I think...
Because...
Oh, you know, I did have that thought, though, too, while watching the movie. What you're saying. Okay. On the one hand, I think the simple answer is no. But on the other hand...
Nature versus nurture.
On the other hand, it's not decisive, like, 100%. Because if you really, like, go back and watch the movie as if it's, like, the Zapruder film and try to, like, really break down the game film. Because I had this thought. I had this thought early in the movie. Because when Ryan Reynolds was trying to incinerate it, in the little lab capsule.
Yeah.
Because, you think, oh, wow, so now are the humans enraging this creature unintentionally? Because maybe it was trying to give a handshake, but it was too hard, you know? And, you know, that set off this miscommunication between the species. So, in that moment, watching Reynolds try to fry it, I remember one of my very favorite episodes of the original Twilight Zone. I don't know the title of it, and I don't know if you know this one, Kat.
I watched them all.
Okay, well then you know it. The one where the old lady is like in her house that looks like old timey house.
Oh my god, yes, that was a good one.
And then like there's something that crashes in her attic, and then now she's being terrorized by who knows what. And she's running around. Blah, blah. Let me spoil this classic episode of Twilight Zone for everybody. Mm. But in the very end of the episode, it's revealed that the thing that crashed in her attic, it looks like a flying saucer, but scaled down to like Dozer from like Fraggle Rock scale.
Seriously? Wow.
What? Anyway.
Wow.
So it's a miniature looking flying saucer, but then the big reveal at the end is that there's like a US flag and it says like NASA or whatever. And it turns out these evil alien invaders were human beings this whole time who crashed on the land of giants. Whatever. One of my favorite episodes. Why? For people who know me, it's because of the scale. But anyway.
A scale issue.
Yes, it's true. But anyway, so I actually thought of that episode during the incineration scene was that, oh, what if we flip this? Or like, what if this movie was shown on Martian movie theaters and the globs were in the theater watching the same exact movie, yeah, and they're just like, oh my gosh, who are these like bipedal creatures that floating in space, like terrorizing our like amoeba kind, like what is going on? And so from their point of view, this is like a horrible, like,
I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy you right now. That's nice.
So from their point of view, it's like, this is like a horrifying like alien movie where these like multi-tone like bipedal creatures are terrorizing our like space amoeba explorer who's been snatched from his home, resuscitated and put through a torture chamber, and see from that alien point of view, he's like our protagonist, the amoeba.
He's Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Yeah, and he's just like, like no matter what these evil aliens are throwing at him, he's just like one step ahead, like getting out of like every obstacle. And so, yeah, I thought that. Fine. But that said,
it's good. I like it. I like the film better this way. I do.
That said, though, either way you slice it, though, any creature with the determination that this creature has from the embryonic state is going to cause issues. Like, if you're that much of a wannabe survivor, it's going to cause issues. Because you're gonna ruffle a lot of feathers in the universe. If this is how you reach out with other organisms, you know.
It's the same with issues firm with Star handshakes. Trek. Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, so I get that. But for all intents and purposes, as a human being, this was bad from the start. Or this could not go well.
Well, I felt like they broke a lot of science rules and, like... Well,
go ahead.
Like, you know, like, I feel like there's... What do you call them? Rules in place, regulations, mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. Procedures in place, mm-hmm. how you deal with certain things. And I felt like they broke
yes,
a lot of rules that they shouldn't be breaking. They felt like they were really willy-nilly about a lot of things. And
absolutely.
it was shocking to see that. Like, at what point do you think it's a good idea to go into the airlock to save a guy when he's being attacked by alien? You don't know if that alien could have split off. Yeah. I kept expecting it to split into, like, four.
Well, that's something I had a question about during my restroom break.
What's the question?
Well, because that was a big piece. That was a big bolt of lightning.
It's fine.
When I was gone, and you alluded to this conversation we had in the movie about, and you said, oh, the creature came out of the black guy, and I said, yeah, that makes sense. But now it doesn't, because what I thought had happened was I thought at that point in the movie, we now had two creatures.
I did too, and I don't understand.
So I thought there was the other one that was still lost.
From.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Like, how did it get there?
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask you, because when you said it came out of the black eye, I assumed that was creature number two, had like hatched, which I kind of felt that might happen. So when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, so I was right. But then
it was like there's still only one creature
yes,
throughout
exactly.
this whole thing.
So then I was confused.
I got confused
so it was,
too.
It was hiding.
It was never clear. It was okay. never clear, and I never understood how.
So maybe there's something that you missed too, where it showed it getting behind him or entering his, I don't know what.
I think it was a hidden thing. Like, it was something that was just hidden from us. I'm not getting rain over here. But, anyway, I don't know what.
Yeah, so I thought there was multiple creatures, but it turns out there was only one in the end.
Confusing.
Or so it seems.
So.
But yes, the protocol thing, though.
There it is, protocol.
Yeah, but that goes back to what I was saying earlier, that you just have to, I guess, they have to break protocol in order to, for this movie to happen. Because, yeah, they're fast and loose. And, look, I've never tested to be in the astronaut program.
This sentence is not going to end well.
But I've been involved in other vocations that, you know, you have to be a little bit sound mind. And I know from watching TV and movies that when you do try to become an astronaut or anything like that, you have to, like, pass all these, like, psychological tests and things. And many of our crew members should have failed that prior to being on this mission.
Seriously, when we have the experience of that astronaut lady driving to Florida wearing a diaper to shoot her boyfriend because of something or another, you think that they can, you remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, really, I mean, yeah, ago. No, longer than Fraggle Rock, sir.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, embedded in your childhood,
yeah,
memories.
Yeah.
The lady, anyway, with the diaper is not.
What I'm saying is
there's crazy people, okay?
I mean, humans are human. And
absolutely. But this type of thing is vetted, at least with it, because...
But then who would you get? Because then no one would be qualified, because humans are inherently crazy.
No, but you try... No, that's true. They're always going to be crazy people. But you would vet it enough that you'd get maybe one loose cannon crew member, or less than one, but not multiple. Because, again, unless they exist in a universe where there's no movies or fiction like Alien, etc. Like, rationally, you're thinking, when the very first bad thing starts happening in the movie, man, sorry, buddy, we're ejecting this capsule. Like right from the, like, boom.
Nobody threw anything out of an airlock on this thing.
Not only that, but even before things started getting iffy, like with the handshake. Okay, I kept imagining if this was really happening anywhere with smart humans, like investigating a new organism, the moment it, like, turned into, like, a gelatinous looking sperm coming out of the petri dish,
yeah,
that's already, like, aboard, or like like locking in a box, like, we're all, like, that already. But the way they're like, oh, it's so cute,
let's play with it, it's gonna make it
incredible. Like, wouldn't, okay, because I was thinking,
I thought that too.
Forget about extraterrestrials. Just, like, people who study regular biology and science. This organism appears to be, like operating like a cancer, but, like, on a crazy level. It's, like, super... I mean, the way it grows initially. It's, like, super cancer. So you would think that as soon as you recognize that as a scientist, you'd immediately treat it like it's anthrax or something completely out of control. No, because, like... Wouldn't that alarm you as a trained scientist? Like, this thing on a cellular level is just off the charts?
You're right. And I get that when you first get it into the lab, you want to see what it does. But, and I do agree with you. After you see the cilia floating around and it starts moving, put it somewhere where you can do something else with it. Don't risk the entire planet over some crazy...
But again, for the movie to follow the plan... Fine, I get it. We have to allow for certain things to happen.
So. Are you scared of the rain? No. Or is this a ridiculous podcast? It's raining.
No, I'm not scared of the rain.
And we're still in the Jeep.
I'm not scared. No, we're fine. There's a lot of higher points around us. Higher points of elevation.
I drank too much beer. I need to use the restroom again.
All right. You want to take a timeout?
Yeah.
All right.
And we're back. Why was that funny?
I guess nature calls.
I'm never drinking beer with you again, dude. I'm gonna drink wine, maybe, because I don't have this problem with wine. Anyway, we're gonna continue our life discussion. Life as it is.
Feels like a life sentence.
Oh, man. So, the enjoyment of this film. Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. I know we kind of touched on it as opposed to like Arrival. However, well, did you like it? Oh, did you like it?
Well, I mean, bring it, the Arrival thing, again, that just depends on the person, you know? Like, oh. Wow, what's happening?
I'm trying to escape. Where's the...
Oh.
Come down. There you go. Okay.
All right. What's happening? All right. Yeah, that just depends on different strokes for different folks. So, obviously, some people are going to like A more than B, whatever. That aside, this is tough. Or it's, I mean, okay, because this is what I think. This is going to sound like a politician's response, but that's not my intention. Like, I really don't think it's a bad movie at all.
Okay.
I think what matters, though, like if I was recommending this to someone else, because it is what you think it's going to be, as we've covered. And if someone is a fan of that and is looking for that, then I think this is a plenty fine movie to fill that. All right, because I think it for the kind of movie that it is, it's not bad at all. It's probably a little bit more above average, or maybe a lot more above average for the kind of movie that it is.
I'd say I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Because we both have plenty of friends who are just into those like thriller. Type of like, you know, shocking, surprising, whatever, those types of movies.
Right.
So if you're into that, I see no reason why you wouldn't like the movie Life. Because I know there's plenty of other movies in this genre that are going to be sillier or not as well done, yada, yada, yada.
Budget, blah, blah, yeah.
That said, though, just for movies in general, I personally fall into the category who appreciates a movie like Arrival. Much, much more.
Here we go. We're not talking about Arrival.
No, I know, I'm just saying because as far as appreciation, Arrival is something that stuck with me later after the fact. I was still thinking about it and like contemplating it. This movie, like once we pass this conversation, like I'm good. I'm done. Like, you know, my relationship with this movie like ends at that point. But I don't regret seeing it. I wasn't put off by it or nothing like that. No, this is not anywhere in that realm. But this is a movie that I was fine with, I was okay with, but I probably wouldn't rewatch again at any point. Who knows? Maybe 10 years from now, it's like showing on Deep Cable, if Deep Cable still exists.
Is Deep Cable?
Deep Cable is like when you get to the stations that go like past 100. Okay. If we're even on cable, because apparently everyone's cutting the cord. But,
it's going to be on Crackle.
So maybe if it just played, if it was like already playing, or if I was like in an airport lobby, and it was just, all right. It's not, but, and forget about Arrival.
I did.
Like, another movie, again, you have to kind of compare to a little bit, is like Gravity, which is a different kind of thrill ride for sure, but I think there's more to it than that. I'll get to that a little bit later. But that movie was like really super cool. And it did a lot with a lot less going on. And this movie is a little bit similar to that, just in the setting and whatnot. And this movie had more to play with, but yet it didn't excite me the way Gravity did when I saw it two or three times in the theater. So, yeah, you know? So, yeah, I think good for those who are fans of the genre. But if you're just like a broad sci-fi fan, this may not be your favorite cup of tea. It depends how you feel about the monster thrillers.
Okay. Oh, special effects, how it looked.
Par for the course. I mean,
it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it didn't especially. Like, it doesn't push any boundaries, but at the same time, it's adequate.
I think if we've seen, because we've seen Gravity, this doesn't do that, right?
Yeah, this does not have at all. And it's not really about the effects, per se, but Gravity also has a lot more style, besides the effect, on how it's shot and how it looks.
This tried.
It tried only like the opening scene when the very first time.
Well, sometimes when the ship is crashing and they do that big wide shot and you can see the curvature of the earth.
But that was so quick and fleeting. The only time they did something that almost would make you nauseous, so it's gladly they only did a little bit, was just in the very first time they show the control room and the camera does the whole like rotating around, flipping upside down. That was like the one flourishy thing they did, and then besides that, it was more straightforward. But the other thing that, it depends how you feel about it, as far as like the look, that maybe doesn't work for me, but maybe it's because I overthink it. Mm. But when we see the creatures' POV shots, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, I don't know. I guess those have become a pet peeve of mine in recent years, because I'm like, okay, I get it. It's for the audience.
Maybe that's why you were trying to think. You thought of things from the aliens' point of view so many times.
I don't know, but I understand that they do the gooey cam for the audience watching the movie.
Well, had the gooey cam. That lady who had the water.
That
was
a
drowning.
Whole different thing. But yeah, but I get it's for the audience, but. In my mind, it's like this wouldn't even be a thing, or probably wouldn't be how this creature see. In other words, it's like when you think about the Terminator movies, the originals, and at the time it was cool, like when they would show like the Terminator vision, and you would see that the Terminator was like seeing the world in this weird computer graphic of the time, like, but it doesn't make any sense in real life. That's obviously just for the audience. To think this is what a robot sees. Because why would a robot see like a human representation of the world in its robot mind? That like makes no sense.
What do you mean? Of course, like how is it gonna shoot it? If it can't see the human representation of
Because it just sees ones and O's. Where's Carl when I need him?
Oh, that's what you're going for.
It just sees ones and O's.
Oh, you're talking about because it's doing the interpretation for a human audience.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Because it makes as much sense as in a robot movie, they show the human cam and the human just sees ones and zeros. Like, why would the biological creature see ones and zeros? No, that would be for the robots. So the robots go, oh, I get it. Oh, the human. See, it doesn't. And that's how
I was a little slow there.
I thought about the fleshy cam, because I was like, okay, the alien, it cannot be seeing things as if it's looking through like gelatin. And unless we're led to believe that there's a GoPro that's been stuffed into the creature, and that's what we're seeing, because then it makes perfect sense. But why would it be seeing like human vision from within its own body? Like, that doesn't make it. It's way too meta for me.
Oh my God.
So I'm just saying.
And nobody thinks about it that far.
No, people who obsess about movies too much.
You.
I assure you, they'll be thinking about it like this.
I didn't care. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now I'm never going to see an alien POV the same. Ever.
It just depends
now
how
I'm
going to
be
done.
Annoyed.
It's just like, why would
for the rest
it,
of
why
my
would
life.
It look like this?
Thanks, Eric.
Okay.
Thanks, Obama.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. All right, where else can we go on this? So we see that the alien grows at a really fast rate. Every time it feeds on a human, it get or anything, energy, blah, blah, mm-hmm. It gets bigger. And it looks like, what does it look like? It looks like a banana peel that's clear, but...
Well, I had two thoughts. If you've ever seen those prehistoric dinosaurs of the ocean, the ones that just look like a brontosaurus but just have flippers. Have you seen those dinosaurs before?
I don't know.
You know what a brontosaurus looks like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, picture a brontosaurus living in the sea, but instead of legs, he just has these like
flippers.
Okay, so take that dinosaur, chop off its head and tail, so you just have the body and the flippers. Okay, that's your creature, but...
Then why is it even a dinosaur?
Okay. But you made it with the omelet creatures from Annihilate Now in Star Trek original series. The flying omelets that get on Spock's back. Come on, Annihilate Now.
Damn, I'm blanking out on that.
Well, I don't know if that's the right title, but it's the one where Kurt goes to the human colony to see if his brother's still there. But all the humans are gone in this...
What else happens?
Okay, so they're in this futuristic city colony, and all the humans are gone, and then eventually they find that the whole city has been overrun by these flying omelets. This has been raised on Sci-Fi Parliament, because I know me and Carl have talked about this on the pod before.
I don't think that was one of my favorite, because...
I'm not saying it's one of your favorites.
I'm just saying, like, maybe I've only seen that one once.
So this thing looks like, okay, like a pancake omelet, and it attaches to Spock's back, and then the crew has to figure out how to take this rubbery alien off of Spock's back. I'll show you some
I feel
later.
Like I've seen this, but not on Star Trek. I've seen it other places.
This is a very memorable TOS episode. Not because it's good, but because if you see it, you recognize it.
I'm going to be like, oh.
Okay. Anyway, if you took the space omelet and made it with the headless...
It doesn't look like a plantain hole to you?
A hole?
Plantain. The hole of a banana. Hole.
No, I can see that now that you bring it up. It for sure. It just wasn't one of my first thoughts.
It was mine because it kept flipping around and stuff, and I'm just like, this looks like a banana peel, and I'm not happy about it.
Do you remember the original Barbarella very well? Barbarella from the 60s with Jane Fonda?
I've seen it twice. It's been a while.
Because when you say banana peel, it's like a Pavlovian response in my brain. If you remember, there's some spaceships that Duran Duran has in Barbarella, and he like sends his spaceships to go, or his little fighter things to go after the angel who's flying holding Jane Fonda, and they're being chased by these like little fighters that, and to me those look like flying banana peels. So when you say banana peels, I picture the little spaceships from Barbarella. I'll show Kat pictures of this later, and she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Just saying, you triggered me with banana peels.
That's fine. So when we're talking about triggers, one of the triggers that I had in the very opening of this is that we saw a lot of space, Final Frontier, just nothing but black and a lot of stars.
Mm-hmm.
Made me think of Windows 95 screensaver.
Okay, I don't know why your mind would go there, but I
you know, that one where the stars come at you and stuff like that. Yeah, I was thinking that, and I was just like, wow, that kind of triggered me, and I'm unhappy right now. So I think that started the unhappiness with, like, okay, what are they doing right now? I just think that I thought that was a bad decision for them to do
just
that.
The star field?
Didn't like it. Didn't want it. Right. It didn't. I mean, we didn't revisit it. We didn't say why we're going on Mars. Why are we seeing just the stars? Why don't we see
Mars?
But
again, that's another thing that stinks, is that we only see Mars for a brief moment. Like,
I don't even remember Mars.
Well, that's the thing. Barely 30 seconds of the movie.
Was I in the restroom on that?
No, this is the very beginning.
Oh,
only
remember.
Like 30 seconds happens in the orbit of Mars, and then all the rest happens in the orbit of Earth.
I thought the space station was really pretty. It looked good.
From the inside? The outside? The whole thing?
Outside. I'm going outside.
To me, it looked like par for the course.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I mean, I didn't think, this is fake. It just looked like this is what...
It is.
This is what they look like now. Yeah, or in movies.
Why is he looking at me? Get out of here, the sun. Okay, anyway. What else? Are we straining for topics at this point? Or I feel like there's more. Okay, so tell me how exactly the Asian guy died, because I was in the restroom.
I forgot you were gone for that, too.
Because he was in his sleep
pod. That was another thing that was like a little bit of a letdown, because... Okay, so he was in his pod, and I wasn't sure if that was a sleep pod or if it was an escape pod, but I guess it wasn't an escape pod because we see that later in the movie, the two lifeboats.
Hmm.
So I guess it was just his sleep pod, because he was waiting for everybody else to get to the section because they were going to do all this stuff with... messing up the atmosphere for the ship to expel the creature, blah, blah, blah. So he was just waiting while everybody else was involved in the action. Okay, and initially, while you were gone, he was sitting there looking at a picture of his newborn daughter, and he was speaking to himself, basically pledging, like, I'm going to go back. I'm coming mm-hmm. back. Like, daddy's going to come home from this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
I
at first
that
he
part.
Was saying. But then as drama continued to happen elsewhere in the ship, when things started happening, I guess he had like this moment of conscience where he was just like, oh, screw it. I'm gonna try to like help this situation. And so he leaves his pod, he gets in there, And what's unfortunate about it is that, as I think you came in on, it was all for nothing, because he gets in there, he's helping them get the creature out of the airlock, but the creature gets a hold of him, and eventually the creature, eventually he gets expelled out of the airlock. And what happened at that point? Because you're back now. But I mean, the creature got into Jake Gyllenhaal at that point, or something. But it just stunk, because he basically chose to get involved, and it was all for nothing, because then he was gone. And so that was a bit of a downer.
And so the lady with the, because I left at her death too, did she just drown?
Oh, yes. Okay, so prior to this, the commander had gone on a spacewalk because they were trying to fix something, and the creature gets into her... Did he get into her suit? No, he didn't get into her suit.
He breached.
But no, he didn't breach her suit, but he by him gripping around her leg, it, like, broke her, like, coolant line for her suit. So now the fluid was getting into her suit. And so the creature didn't get in her suit, but more and more fluid was leaking into her spacesuit. And Gyllenhaal was trying to help her get back into the ship, but she begins to start drowning and asphyxiating on the liquid. And he's explaining to her, this is how you have to help me open the lock or whatever. And as she's drowning, she makes a choice of, like, no, screw this, I'm going to die. And she doesn't say this, but I mean, she makes a decision, screw this, I'm not going to make it. So instead of trying to continue opening the door, she, like, fights Gyllenhaal and continues to lock the door instead. Mm. So then she also sacrifices herself, because she doesn't want the creature to get in through the airlock. So then she dies. But yeah.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So this alien is all outside of the spaceship in the vacuum of space.
Right, right, yeah.
Why are they so concerned with starving it of oxygen? Because obviously it can survive out in freaking space.
Yes, but it's stated in the movie when it's first in
space. That makes no sense, though.
No, it's stated in the movie the first time it goes into space that it's able to store, like, a certain amount of air or whatever it needs, so it can survive in the vacuum of space, but only for a limited time.
Okay, I must have been the restroom. Yeah.
So then I was thinking, when they later come up with the plan of trying to, like, mess with the air, I was still thinking, well, geez, well, yeah, you can do that, but it's still going to survive for a while. But whatever, we don't really get to that point.
Okay.
Oh, the other thing that was unclear, or a thing that was unclear to me, that maybe it's just my fault for not paying attention, but later, they get into the situation where this other Earth vessel comes to their station, and at first they think it's because the other vessel is gonna link up with them to try to, like, attempt a rescue, but then they realize, no, this is not gonna be a rescue at all. This other Earth vessel is just really trying to, like, ram the whole entire space station further out into space. Okay, first I have an issue, then I have a puzzlement. My first issue was, and this was annoying, but again, this fits the Molly's types of the movies. Before this even happens, part of the jeopardy for the crew is that they've lost communications with Earth, which is, like, the most annoying thing. It always has to happen, it seems, with these types of situations. Super annoying, but fine. We'll just grant that for some reason they can't contact Houston, I'm assuming.
Oh, jeez.
And so, fine. But now that we're getting to this point where this other Earth vessel is about to hook up or link up with the station or whatever is about to happen, see, this is me maybe overthinking it, but it's like, there has to be a secondary protocol for this type of situation. Like, if main communications are out, there has to be another way to possibly send a text message or something, like some old, like anything to be like, to be able to communicate with this other ship. That has to exist if you know, but, so that was bothersome, but of course there has to be no communication because we have to build this new, like, situation of intensity and everything else. Okay, fine, but if we get past that though, then I'll have more questions though. So fine, because the backup third firewall plan is for them to get pushed out into space. Okay, I get it. That sucks. So then it starts pushing them. But then, as some minutes go by, something goes completely crazy with the others. We never know what's happening on the other space vessel. We never get to see their point of view. We never know what's happening or who's flying the other space vessel. But at a certain point, something goes completely nuts with the other ship, and it just, like, spirals out of control and, like,
right.
crashes into the space station. Everything goes crazy. I miss the explanation for what that was.
Well, if they're trying to ram it and they did it wrong, maybe...
So is that what it was? I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe that's what it was. But for me, it just happened out of nowhere. Like, and so my initial thought was, oh, did the alien get onto the other ship and we didn't realize it? And now the alien's, like, killing everybody on the ship and now the ship's out of control. But I was like, no, that didn't happen. So then I was like... So then I was like, what? It just... So maybe someone else who's seen the movie... Wow.
That's weird. Who is this?
It's a different podcast who's trying to contact me via Skype right now. Yeah, a different.
What are you gonna do?
Nothing. I can't be in another podcast.
In, like, the middle of a podcast.
It's like the turducken of podcasts. Jeez. No, I can't do that. It doesn't make any sense. Let me pause my recording. Thanks a lot, Skype. See, even when you don't use Skype to record a podcast, it's this voracious alien entity that will stop at nothing. Like, no internet firewall will stop Skype from, like, impeding your discussion.
You know what? Another thought I had was them bringing up the Challenger.
Oh, jeez. It instantly took me back to my own memories.
Well, I mean, then it feels like maybe they were trying to suggest that maybe the Challenger exploded because they were battling an alien entity.
Well, oh, no, no.
It felt like they were trying to, you didn't get that?
No. What was in your drink?
They're trying to do. Why are they bringing this up?
No, but the reason you brought this up to me in real time in the theater was I did not think that's where your mind was going. It felt more to me like the phenomenon that people have brought up that happens in movies nowadays, because, like, when movies try to, like, equate things to, like, 9/11, and so people take that as in, oh, they're trying to take some of our innate feelings about 9/11 and then, like, mix it in with this movie that you're watching so that
explanation makes no sense either, really.
No, but that's what they do. Or that's what people said with, like, whether it was intentional or not. That's what they said about, like, things that happened in Star Trek Beyond. Not Beyond. Into Darkness. Yeah, they did it about they said it about Transformers. They said it about Star Trek Into Darkness. When Khan is, like, terrorizing London and whatever. I can't believe who ever thought that you would ever say Khan was terrorizing London in reference to... Anyway.
nice.
But just like those movies are accused of, like, trying to, like, take some of the sympathy for 9/11 and injecting it into their movie, that's what I felt they were doing with the Challenger, like, bringing that up and, like, taking... I guess you have to be of a certain age. But to have your feelings of Challenger and then try to, like, mash it with, like, having feelings for our astronauts in this movie.
Which is why I thought that they were trying to suggest that the Challenger had issues with an alien on board and the only way to get rid of it was to explode. Krista McAuliffe exploded the freaking...
Kill me. Are you serious?
Kill me.
Serious.
Who is that?
It's a podcast. Which a different one? Podcast. I don't want to say because that would be bad form. Let me go into Skype and put do not disturb. I don't think they were talking about aliens taking over Challenger. I think they were talking about I don't know, just the idea
because
of,
the kids
of going
were
out in the
kids were really yes. involved with this particular spacecraft, and they were
right
like, and then right, so right. it's going to explode, but
right.
But they were doing it because they freaking were trying to save the Earth from aliens. So that's why
they were. I mean, Gyllenhaal and company, but not the Challenger.
You do you know that for sure?
You're suggesting an alien conspiracy was planted in this movie?
Did we really go to the moon, Eric?
Yes.
Yes. Let me have my fun. Jeez. Okay, anyway.
I'm just saying, I don't think they were suggesting that Challenger was due to extraterrestrial involvement. I'm just putting that out for the record.
You know, it could... okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move
on. Oh, you know, okay, I do have another thought, though. Not related to that. Oh, if, you, yeah. if you allow me to change the subject. Because this is more of my own affliction, though, as a movie watcher. Mm. I hate that I feel like I know too much about movies in general that doesn't have anything to do with the actual watching of movies. Like, just knowing about stuff, like, behind the scenes. Mm. I hate when that, like, affects, like, my watching of
Bring
a movie.
Bring it. What happened?
Well, it's because... Okay. Again, I haven't read or researched about this particular movie, but I don't think I have to. It's self-evident. The other thing that kind of just bothered me and shouldn't bother anyone at all was that from a studio perspective, the studio making the movie, everything about this movie seemed very calculated, like from top to bottom to be a cash-in of sorts. But not that I think there's anything wrong with that.
What do you mean cash in? What do you mean?
In other words, it's like imagine a computer, an old timey 1950s blinky light computer with like a paper printout that like comes out on
like
a track.
Like Mad Libs, maybe.
Not Mad Libs. I'm talking about an actual 1950s sci-fi computer.
Okay, fine.
And imagine you have this magical computer, and then. There's a room.
There's a computer with magic.
There's a room at Paramount where there's guys with a big computer, and they say, "Computer, give us our next idea for a movie that'll make us money for our movie studio." And the computer, it like analyzes current information and box office results and other things of that nature. And then, yeah, the printout comes out, and it's like the printout explains exactly what you need to do, like how to make this movie.
So formulaic. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but formulaic is like a structure for making a movie. This movie felt like it was made by design. Like, it's all calculated as to, like, every element about it. And I'll explain further. Because, okay, this movie definitely seems like it was inspired by the success of Gravity. Mm-hmm. People saw that. And as they normally do in Hollywood, oh, this movie, Titanic or whatever, made a big splash, no pun intended. And so, how are we going to get involved with this phenomenon? So there's Gravity, and think, okay, well, hey, look, we have this script on the back burner about this alien creature, you know, attacks this like space station. Oh, yeah, this is good. All right, bring this in. Okay, now what else can we do to add to the like what we're because
make it like Alien, make
okay,
it like the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. But this is again smart, like from a numbers game. This movie looks very inexpensive to produce. The only place where they spent money was on the casting. But aside from the casting, this is a very low budget movie. Which is good because keep the cost down. If it just does a little bit of success, then we get all our money back. And that's part of the plan because this is all calculated.
Oh, we need to see the numbers for this film. We're going to look that up.
So this looks very inexpensive to produce aside from the casting, which is also calculated. You just get like the big names because that's.
Well, they got two big names and everybody else.
Yeah, that's to hedge your bets. Yes, two big names, but then the other calculation is, as we all know, and this has been going on for some years now. Hollywood movies are catering to an international audience. This is perfect because space movies with crews are that's a shoe-in right there for getting, because now you have the perfect reason to have international characters, and that's all to play to international audiences. I don't even need to bring up, but if you just think of almost all the major blockbusters of like the last 7 years, whether they're sci-fi or not, they inject like a prominent Asian character / actor. They've been doing it over. They did it in Transformers. They did it in Force Awakens. They did it in Rogue One. They fine. That's fine. I'm not criticizing.
I'll give it.
But that's exactly why Watanabe is in this movie. It's exactly why he's not
he's
just...
so handsome.
I have no problems with him. So I like handsome. Him a lot. But I'm just saying it's all calculated, though. Like, they're going to spend the money to get an Asian actor that people recognize rather than a no-name Asian actor because it's all part of the calculation of how
they got a no-name black guy. I've never seen this guy before in my life.
I think they wanted to get Idris Elba, but for some reason...
Oh, my God, stop talking.
He was busy making Thor. But it was all by design, though. They got him, and then they have an international... So this is perfect, so that when this show opens in Japan, they're going to get a bump on the box office. So this is all... It's all perfect. We had this story, and then we got the international cast. We're going to play off of Gravity, and...
Everybody likes a British person.
It's a low... Well, there's also the Russian, because that was the other important...
There was a Russian?
Yeah, she was the commander.
And
there was like text, and the text within the space capsule was English and in Russian. So really, this is all, and they even have the line of dialogue where they talk about that, like, space in the future is like a combination of the biggest powers, America, Russia, and China coming together to it's all perfect. It's all made with an international audience in mind, which is fine. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, but I hate. Me being conscious of it as I'm watching the movie, like...
But then, are you conscious of it, or is that just the way they do sci-fi films? Because I feel like that is always the way they do it. It's just like, traditionally, this is how sci-fi films go, so let's do this.
But just like when you said earlier, like, but they got these high-profile guys. It's exactly what they did with that movie, Great Wall. Which is...
I didn't see that. You saw that?
No, I didn't see it. But that's another movie that was specifically... Again, by design, by committee, this is like gonna play big in Asia, and we're just gonna have Matt Damon just because he's gonna play well to like a foreign audience. That look, there's this A-list American actor in this very Asian production. It's all a numbers game. It's not because Matt Damon's philanthropic. It's not because he's always had a desire to be in an action thriller about a supernatural entity going against the Great Wall of China in ancient. No, it's just the way things are done. Hey, I'm just saying, but I'm aware of it. And I don't like it cause it throws me out. Cause see, this was not the case in like the original Alien or other older movies where it's just a ragtag group because it's a ragtag group. They didn't have Sulu in the original Star Trek because they wanted the show to like do well in Japan. That was not even a thought. It just happened to work out that way. But I don't know. But this movie is perfectly designed, and it's designed to work well, and it's designed to make a run, and that's cool. It's just I don't like to think about it.
It's something that people are going to watch on Netflix a year from now.
Absolutely.
And just like, hey, what's this thing?
Yeah, no.
They're just going to sit and watch it, and then there's somebody's going to fall asleep on it, and they're going to be like, oh, I watched that, and it's just a, you know.
I was going to bring that up, too, because, absolutely. People are going to watch it on Netflix and like it. People are going to get it from Redbox if they're looking for this kind of movie, and they'll be fine. Like, for instance, the guy who was sitting on my right in the theater, he was one of those people who's a heavy reactor.
You jumped one time, Eric. Yeah, you sure did. I felt you. You jumped. I was just like,
That's because my phone went off. That is not because...
Oh, okay.
That is not because of anything in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The guy next to me was a heavy reactor, and I don't mean nuclear reactor. I mean, like, any little thing in the music or, like, jump scare.
I jumped several times.
I noticed him a lot more than I ever noticed you, that's for sure. But I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying, I'm assuming this movie worked for him because he was gasping and going, and, like, at all the right times.
Because that thing was horrifying. It kind of grew a face towards the end.
There was a moment where it did start getting seeming creepy to me, probably around the incinerator scene, somewhere around there. Like, some of the stuff it was doing to the black scientist and then later to Ryan Reynolds when it went inside of him. Because I was thinking about...
Oh, that was gross.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, a food processor being inside of me and, like, getting eviscerated within your body. Like, that that was disconcerting to think about, and I wasn't afraid or anything, but I had a reaction to, like,
he held my hand, guys. He was just like, oh my god, cat. He, like, a tear came down.
You're gonna edit this out, because
seriously, dude, why is this guy backing up so hardcore?
He's gotta do what he's gotta do.
Ugh, non-driving. Anyway, yeah, I didn't, because I do feel your predictable formulaic complaint, because after a while it just started to, like, oh my god, when is this gonna end? They keep doing stupid things. It feels like everything that I've seen before, not in a bad way, but the only thing towards the end that made me smile, that pulled me in, was of course something that's going on in my own life right now, which I brought up before, which is because I'm reading Lovecraft, so it's like,
what is, where we're going?
Okay, yeah, right, I'm reading Lovecraft. No, not, I don't know how, where that would go anyway. And I enjoyed the fact that, like the end of Gravity, it ended in the sea. But in the, you know, Lovecraft, he's all about the sea creatures. I like the fact that some of the visuals where it was totally tentacle monster, you know, tentacle orifice type of situation. Right. So that's always a little creepy fun, weird, you know. So, It wasn't all terrible. Like, it's enjoyable. Like, maybe I'd watch, because we've talked about it so much, maybe I'd watch it again if it's on Netflix. I mean,
yeah, I don't want to sound like super Debbie Downer. That is not at all, because if this movie really was bad, or in the bad column, I would let it have it. Like, I really would. But this movie,
like,
doesn't
Fear the Walking Dead.
No, that's a good show. But this movie doesn't deserve to be, like, railed against, right? Not even close. No.
No, I agree.
No, it's totally fine. And again, it is what you think it is when, like, going into it. And so that, if that's what you're looking for, then boom, there it is. And that's all good. And I got no problems with that. It's all good. Okay. So, you know, yeah. So if I was to rate it, I would have my own personal rating, which would be different than how I would rate it for just, like, people in general.
Are you gonna rate? I mean, we don't rate on Sci-Fi Parlor. Like, how? Like, I need to.
For instance, for, like, the general public, I'd say this movie's like a 3 out of 5. For me personally, it's like a 2, probably 2 out of 5. But that's just me with all my own baggage.
Okay.
Regular people, I think it's a 3 out of 5.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I agree with that on both. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we've discussed this one to death. I don't want to see a sequel.
Oh, I was gonna say something about that. So, again, this is a spoiler podcast. So, they have to do the faux, oh, we can do a sequel if we wanted to.
Stop it.
And I know that doesn't mean they're going to do it, but it's just a thing that movies do. But I kind of liked it when they did that at the end of Moon. They kind of opened it up, like, there could be more to this. But, you know, there's probably not going to be ever a sequel to Moon, which is fine, I guess, if that's the way things go.
You sound disappointed.
Well, no, because I'd like to see that movie, mm-hmm, if done right. But fine, if it never happened. That, even if Moon is its own, I mean, that's the only one there ever is. It's kind of nice having that little open ending, or kind of suggesting there could be more to this. But with this movie, I'm kind of like, no, I'm good. Well, okay, because here's the other thing I was thinking about. Well, then again, whoever thought you could do a sequel to Cloverfield, and I was like, I really enjoyed...
Was it a sequel, per se?
Yeah, well, it's definitely somehow related, somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm totally cool with it, because I totally enjoyed 10 Cloverfield Lane. But that's,
I did, too.
Good, that's a separate discussion. But about this movie, though, the reason I'm out... It's not because I was lukewarm about this, therefore I don't want to see... No, it's a little bit more than that. This is another thought I had just watching the movie in general. The creature itself, it runs into the problem, which is usually the Superman problem, which is, yeah, Superman's a good guy, but Superman's problem in comics and movies is that he's so OP, he's so overpowered, that you have to... It's difficult... You're in a box, like... Narratively, you're in a box, like, on how to make a Superman story, because he's so OP that you have to come up with something to hinder him. Otherwise, he wins every time. Well, this creature, as a alien creature, is way OP. You know, just like the original Alien Xenomorph is. But this one is even arguably worse, much worse, than the Xenomorph in terms of its own survivability and danger. So this creature is so OP, it has the Superman problem, which is, especially if you bring it down to Earth, wow, you like, what are you going to do? Because...
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
So, you see something crash down which looks like a spacecraft into the lake that you're in. You go up to it in the window, and you see a guy struggling with a bunch of...
Mucus...
striated muscle tissue grossness, and you work really hard to open that. That makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't know what real people would do in real life, but I feel like it could literally go 50-50 depending on the random bystander who comes across it. I feel like
that looks like something you never want to open,
though. I think like 50% of people would be like these guys, oh my gosh, we got to get in there. Or they'd be like, oh, hell no, you're done.
Yeah, no, I mean, just think about when you see something you don't understand. It's not that you fear it or whatever. You just need a minute to process. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true.
I think they want, it's great that you want to save another human being, but that's how we got in this in the first place. Is that if he had let the black guy that you absolutely hate die. If they let him die, and just, it would have been a different story.
Well, of course, yeah, you wouldn't have a movie.
That's number one. Number two, there was something fascinating about when they said that the creature's curiosity overpowered its fear. And I think that is something...
I don't remember that line.
Yeah, I do. And I thought it was very fascinating because, well, that's how science happens. And if this was not a horror film, if it was just...
Are you saying it's a cautionary tale for humankind not to overreach in its explorations? No,
that's not where I was going. Where I'm going is that some humans are naturally cautious and they won't open the box or whatever, and some are. And when sometimes if it's not a horror film and it's just a you get a rival, but if it is a horror film, you get life. So, I don't know what the point I was trying to make. It's just an observation.
Sure. Some people are cat people. Some people are dog people.
Thanks, Eric. That makes me feel great.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Okay, that's life, folks. Do you have everything out about this?
Yeah, I think so.
You think you're done with it?
No, but I'm glad though. It was fine. We could have watched a rom-com, or we should.
Seriously, do you know me? That would not have happened. I don't watch rom-coms.
I was down for Beauty and the Beast. Let me tell you what.
I don't ever want to see that, honestly. Oh, I might watch it on Netflix.
I do want to see it.
Okay, we're going to just stop this podcast. That's our show. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Go to our website, scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook. Oh my God, you can go to iTunes, leave us a review, but not on this episode because somebody's singing. Oh God. And we hope you enjoyed this show, and we'll see you at the party, which has no singing, next time. Bye. Bye. You gonna say bye? Why am I walking out of your Jeep?
Bye. It's not like you're saying bye to me. It's not like you're saying bye to me.
You were supposed to say bye next.
Bye next. I said bye. I said bye many times. I gave many choices.
Take me home. Shit.
If that's what you want to do.
I'm sleepy. It's past my bedtime.
I was going to ask if you had a gremlin situation.
What do you mean?
Eating after midnight.
Oh, you're hungry?
Well, I will probably eat before I go to bed this morning, but
I don't really want to eat.
You don't have to.
No, I'm sleepy.
End of line.